Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, let us be filled with thanksgiving to you in appreciation for your plan of salvation and as we seek the spiritual wisdom to see what is ahead in our earthly world. The Thanksgiving holiday has been a day for us to remember our national blessings, and for every national blessings we give thanks to God. And for our personal blessings as well. Soon it will be the time for the Christmas holiday, and remember that it's a good reminder about Jesus Christ and all the appreciation that we have for God through Jesus Christ and with our family and our family getting together. That's why I like Christmas, and it's not to celebrate any of the pagan roots of Christmas, which are many. No, we have to remember always to focus on Jesus Christ. His probable birthday seems to be sometime around October 1st, actually, but perhaps his conception was December 25th. We just don't know, just maybe. Well, in life, we learn lots of things. We see that all these things are a little different from what we at first understand, because things are not as they appear. And that's a lesson I've seen for many years. Things are not as they appear. So some weeks ago, I talked about the wars that the United States has gotten into and how I said that they were based on misinformation, or some people would even call it a lie. But one listener questioned me and said, how could I call Pearl Harbor a lie or a misrepresentation? And I know a little bit about Pearl Harbor, and I don't mind challenges. It's good to be examining whatever it is we hear. But at that time, right a couple of weeks before Pearl Harbor, there was the newest and most essential ships for the war effort. They were moved out of Pearl Harbor a few hundred miles south, and that's where they stayed, because that's where the orders were given to go. So our most essential ships were moved south. Now, is that a reason? Well, it's an indicator. There's another indicator, well, more of a reason, and it's regarding those two officers who were in charge of that area. One was Admiral Kimmel, and the other was General Short. And they were kind of put out of the way because of the tragedy of Pearl Harbor. And they went before the Naval Court, and the court exonerated Admiral Kimmel and Short. And then the court expressed concern that there were important files and memos about Pearl Harbor that had been destroyed. Right out of the military files, they were missing or destroyed. So there's just questions that go on, and we can look at the indicators. And I noticed that in 1995 there was Senate resolution that stated the trials of Kimmel and Short had been denied vital intelligence. So, you know, all these things are indicators. There's things that we don't know. And that goes back to my little statement that I've been learning all my life. Things are not as they appear. So there was another little indicator on that. And several times there were alluded to that there were blunders made by the executive branch, particularly President FDR, for not passing along intercepted Japanese communications. And that was perhaps something that allowed Pearl Harbor to occur. So, anyway, we have lots of questions going on. But look at the questions. Ask them. Look at them today. These things are often the case that we don't have the proper information, and we just have to keep looking. I know that there's indicators that just look like things that shouldn't happen are happening, but they happen anyway. They're strong indicators, and we still can't say there's proof of anything, but we can say there are indicators of questions. So there, about a month ago, I talked on this broadcast of Christ Today, I talked about Major General Albert Stubblebine II, U.S. Army retired. And I quoted him as saying from earlier this year, the spring of 2017, when he said, "The official story of 9/11 was absolutely not true, and the Twin Towers and the Building 7 were a controlled demolition." Well, that's quite a thing for a military man to say, I'll tell you that. And that little statement got him in a lot of trouble. Now, we don't know for sure about anything, but it is notable that just last month he died unexpectedly. Not too long after he made that statement that 9/11, the Twin Towers and Building 7 were a controlled demolition. And you think of a man in a position of being a major general, it says a little bit of something. It lends strength to the argument. So now we'll see what'll happen to his health supplement business that he's been in, and I am sorry for him and his family for his untimely death. So, there's just things happening. Another thing that happened recently in the last 30 days was the head of the Rothschild family, Jacob Rothschild, a plane hit his helicopter right on the edge of his estate in France, and he died. People just die. Often, it's people who are important, and it seems to be after they tell some sort of secrets. There's a lot of things that go on, and we don't know really what happens. All we have is indicators. Why do people die by some sort of an accident? Or why do they die by a fast-acting cancer? Oh, that's been going on for 30 years. 30 years ago was the first time I became aware of a man who died under surprising circumstances. I read his book about, certain questionable subjects, you know, like the Illuminati and the government involvement in things. And I read his book, and right after it came out, and I thought, this is interesting. I wonder if I'll ever get to meet that man. And then, within a year, he just suddenly, mysteriously died. So, those are things that happen. I have talked with lecturers. I have talked with authors. More likely, I've just heard of them. And they die of something mysterious. Perhaps it's a fast-acting cancer. That's been fairly common. So, I know it's just a very curious thing. Very curious. And that's why I had a concern over that mysterious package I got in the mail a few weeks ago. Because I know strange things happen. But I don't see how I could be targeted for anything. All I do is, I'm a historian, I don't have any direct information or direct connections. I just talk about things that are going on. But there's lots and lots of people who do have pretty direct information. Now, they could have something happen to them. And in fact, you still hear of that. But me, I'm just a history guy. Jesus is my everything. And when he calls me home, oh yes, I'll just go. He's in charge of that one. Oh, whatever the end time is, that's fine. I certainly don't want to allow anything to happen. I just want to be natural in my coming and my going. So, everybody has a different idea. Everybody has different thoughts about what kind of medications they want to be on to take, and we don't know. Drugs are in a way, they're a terrific problem for our country, for our entire world, really. Every people group, every religion, every family, whether they're illegal or legal, drugs have an effect. So, I realize that everybody has an individual position and an individual personal decision to make about them, and one person should not decide for another. But I say, use great caution about any drug use that you have. I think about wanting to live a little bit longer. I think of the example in Second Kings 20. There was King Hezekiah, and when Hezekiah was sick unto death, Hezekiah asked God to extend his life. So God gave Hezekiah 15 more years of life. And during those 15 years, Hezekiah gave birth to Manasseh. And he was a most wicked king of Israel. So what happened? Would I ever want to make a trade like that? Give me more life and then have a wicked outcome? Or be associated with one? No, Lord, have your way. Have your way with my life and the world. Oh boy, all the surprising topics we talk about on Christ Today. Ha! Can you imagine? Oh, what's next? What kind of subject? I don't know, but I think about a lot of things, so I talk about them. I think about the countries that where the Christians are not, they're persecuted, really. So they're not allowed to practice their Christian faith. Afghanistan is number 3 on the list. Iraq is number 7 on the list of persecution of people the Christians who are not allowed to practice their Christian faith. And I think, how interesting. Here we are, our military is or was in those countries. And so I have to think, it's not a fight for freedom. It's a fight for democracy and not a fight for freedom. So what's the difference? Well, we have a lot of things going on in recent years about what freedom is and the principles of what we call freedom. And what do we want to have upheld in our country? A democracy is not freedom. It is a vote where the majority rule. But our nation is a republic. And in a republic, we have guaranteed rights no matter what the vote says. So that's an important difference between a republic and a democracy. And here we are around the world. We are talking about democracy in the world. Well, we need to be careful. What are we spreading around the world as a country? I wonder what God would say. I really do. When the United States sends its military into other nations, are we violating that other country's sovereignty? Well, I just wonder. I do wonder. I don't know what it means, but I wonder. We just could see all sorts of troubles from the what we're doing. It'll be interesting. Well, don't for all the troubles there are in the world and in our country and our locality, don't forget about how many good people. There's so many decent people, good and decent people everywhere. They care about other people a lot, and they will make sacrifices for other people, even big sacrifices, just because they're good and decent people. And that's reflecting Christian love. And there's a lot of Christian love in this nation of ours. There's a lot of people who will go out of their way, who would do good things to help a stranger, just because there's a lot of, like I said, good and decent people. We have something special in this country. Yes, other countries have it too, but I think we have more of it in this country, where people are compassionate, people care about other people. And I give thanks to God for that, because I say it's from a strong Christian heritage that we have. So we need to keep praying for our country in every way. Pray for the country and the people and the government and the organizations. Keep praying for our country. Pray that it stays a strong Christian nation. So, and that's all the way throughout it, from all the people of the nation to the uppermost levels of government. Pray for God's righteousness to exist at all levels. Yeah. This nation is special. I say, it's my opinion, that it is because the people have had a strong relationship with God through Jesus Christ. In this world, we're told we will have troubles, and we do. Lots of countries have troubles, but one country's are different from another's. I look at Puerto Rico and that hurricane that just went through there, and well, a few months ago, and so most of that country, like 70% or more, maybe 80% of that country, has had no electricity for 2 months. 2 months with no electricity. And we thank the United States government for sending to Puerto Rico food, water, and $5 billion. Where would other countries of the world be without the help from the United States? Our nation has a lot of wonderful parts, a lot of wonderful things going for it. And I can't help but wonder, what would other countries do to help the United States if our grid went down? Or if we had some sort of a natural disaster? Yes, there are other countries who have been helpful. They have done some very kind things for the people of the United States when the United States has been hit with a disaster. But things can happen all the time and any time, and we don't know what. Natural disaster, the electricity going out, just things can happen. So, you know, it's a kind of interesting thing. There's more and more preparedness experts who are saying that every United States citizen should have 2 months of food and water in their home. And I don't know if they picked 2 months because of the Puerto Rico situation. I don't think so. But it is surprising to hear more people talk about having preparedness. And like I said, 2 months worth of food and water. Well, it's just interesting. I hear more people talk about these things, about the severe problems that could happen, which would affect our entire nation. And of course, there is also the possibility of that huge earthquake happening, especially on the New Madrid Fault. But there's also the Cascadia subduction zone, which is off the coast of California, Oregon, Washington, and British Columbia. That's a potentially huge, huge problem. And the San Andreas Fault is another one. The experts say these are things that are just about ready to go. Of course, we don't know. We don't know what the situation is. But they're not talking about weeks of problems. They're talking about years of disruption. And so there's, you know, you just have to listen to what people are saying and see what it is you understand your position is in that preparedness orientation. Some people are wanting to learn how to grow their own food, but you have to remember you need water, and the water just might not come out of your tap if you turn it on. These problems can be so big that I think the answer is to become a part of a community and help each other. And don't you worry, because you will survive any problems. You will not give up, and you will spend a significant amount of time preparing things that you never had to worry about, like water and food. They're just things that you need, and your time will be taken looking out for food and water. So, in general, just have a look at these things. And I know I told you once in general about how to make flour from acorns. It was a lot of trouble. It was not something you want to do, but it's a source of food. So, you know, I suggest the idea of having extra food, and that's grains. Grains in a 55-gallon steel drum. Get them. It's just for in case. Get it while it's available. Get it now. Just get these basic food supplies. And I see wheat is the most cost-effective food. So, yeah, have a look at that. Or you can always write me. I always invite you to write me and put a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll send you a copy of my preparedness ideas. And I like the idea of self-addressed because that way I won't make any errors when I write it down. So just put that in, put an envelope, and I'll give you the address at the end of the broadcast. So please do something about the preparedness. And if you do nothing, you already know what your preparedness measures will amount to. So yes, do something, because anything is better than nothing. You want to talk about a month of food or a year of food? I don't know. I told you how fast it goes when you have people around. One year's of food is about 275 pounds of wheat, plus 2 gallons of oil, 50 pounds of sugar, and 5 or more pounds of salt. And that just about fills up a 55-gallon drum. But you will also want to get a manual wheat grinder and flavorings or a few other things. So I know it costs. Everything you do costs. But if you would add up your food cost for a year, that costs a lot too. And if you were to think about all the grocery bags that you bring home, that takes up a lot of room too. So if you think of one 55-gallon drum full of wheat, sugar, oil, salt, in a way it doesn't add up to that much, really. And if you need it, you need it. So give it some thought. Like I say, think, plan, and do. It's a reasonable consideration. Think, plan, and do. Maybe you have a different idea, and that's good too. Think about it. You just think, if there was an emergency, who would help you? You know, the grocery stores would be closed, the gas stations would be closed, and you don't know how long that would be. A few weeks, a few months, or longer if it was one of those major disasters. So do you have enough food stored? Are you going to be feeding anyone, or is someone going to be feeding you? It's just a question. And there's lots of groups who do have food stored. There's, of course, the government groups, and then there's non-government groups. Sometimes they're groups of people, sometimes they're a certain religion, and you just don't know. But these groups, they not only have the food, they have guns to protect their food and supplies. So it's just a question, so think about it. What would a hungry person do if they needed food? Can you go to your church and get food? Well, I think most of them aren't storing very much of anything either. Maybe you think the government will feed you. And you just think back to Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. Well, the government did feed people. They fed people from that Astrodome, that sports stadium, and thousands came to that place to be fed. And soon the government wouldn't let any more people in. And they wouldn't let any people out either. Citizens in that stadium reported being robbed. They reported being raped. And that was a government shelter. So, just think. Think about what your options are. You can do something now. So, do it. Do something now. Like I said, if you have no food and no supplies, then you really don't have any choice about what the future holds if you need something. Now, if a huge problem were to happen to this country, there would be a lot of people who would be quite miserable. But we would be miserable together. And I do think being a Christian community is the right answer. And if that's a little bit out of the way, think about how you could be a neighborhood community. Let love and compassion be the dominant themes in this. Love and compassion is what you need to think about when you search out the answers. Of course, you do have to be aware that there will be some people who will immediately go to violence and force to get their needs met. And that's not anything that the Christians want to have anything to do with, but yet we must be aware that there are some people who view it in that way. So, think about it. Think about that community need. Well, we're all trying to figure this out, or we will if we have hard times, but remember that you want to follow God's standards and not man's standards. There's a reason that God put you on the earth right here and right now. God knows you can do this. God knows you can deal with whatever is coming. And you can deal with any situation. You have the patience, the intelligence, wisdom, compassion to deal with whatever God puts in front of you. You can do this. You can do it with love and the appropriate safety concerns. Yes, safety, because after all, we are in a battle. This battle is between God and Satan, and we must be appropriate and intelligent. We must be smart about it. Yeah, so just keep those thoughts going and give it some thought. We might have a nuclear problem. We might have an EMP, you know, the electromagnetic pulse. And that could affect our power grid, our electronic devices, our automobiles. And there's been more and more people who consider this as being a possibility. Do I know? No, I don't know. All I know is there are possibilities. And if it concerns you, then good. I bring them up as something to be concerned about. There's lots more things to be concerned about. I know one of the things I talk about is our money, the United States dollar. It is teetering. There are so many people who have concern with our dollar and that it could turn the whole economic situation of the United States and of the world could turn into some kind of a crash. Unknown, but it certainly is possible. I talk about this from time to time because I see signals and they increase my concern. It's just continually and slowly been going in that same direction for a year. So maybe I'm wrong because it hasn't happened yet, but I don't think so. I think as I look at history, you can go back to Egypt, Rome, the English, the French, even the American, our economy. And we can see with them and with other current countries now, there's been hundreds of currencies all over the world that have had collapses. The pattern is just too long-standing, and it looks unavoidable to me. It looks to me like the results are already here. It's just that they haven't played out to the extent that they need to see that that collapse. So I say the big picture is settled. The little picture is not. How will it happen? When will it happen? Well, certainly nobody knows that one. Nope. So, yeah, you know, I used to travel sometimes and I would go on what they called standby. And if you go standby, you would go for about 20% of the price of a normal ticket. But you weren't guaranteed a seat at all. You weren't guaranteed anything. It just, you showed up, and if it worked, it worked. But being one person, you could always or often get on a flight, but not necessarily. And once I landed, I was watching my pennies, so I ate a lot of bread and cheese. But I did go places, and it was good for me. You have to be careful. You always have to be careful of the water and other locations. Well, I was thinking about that economic crash, and so that's why I had this thought. Back in the early 1970s, I went to Rhodesia, which is now Zimbabwe. Oh, and I went to the Victoria Falls. They were wonderful. Huge, powerful. It was an inspiring experience. But about the money, Rhodesia had a dollar bill, and the United States had a dollar bill. Of course, they were different, but it was such a surprise to me that the Rhodesian dollar was worth more than the United States dollar. And I wondered, how could this be? How could any country have a dollar that was more worth more money, more in value, than our American dollar? Well, I was young. I didn't know. And it seems like the value is based on the economy. And so if the country has a strong economy, their currency is worth more. So there's the economy, there's the indebtedness, and so it has a reflection on the financial strength of the country. So the Rhodesian government, as I say, it's now Zimbabwe, they had their roots, just like we do, in an English form of government. But they changed. They changed and became a socialist communist government. And that new government took over, I guess it was a little over 30 years ago. And they took control of the whole country, the government and buildings and the large farms. They turned it into a collective country. So all the land was effectively taken over by the government. And that new government, now called Zimbabwe, took control of the money also. And what they did was they needed more money, so they printed more money. And they became famous for their hyperinflation because they just kept printing money, printing money. And so they became famous about a year ago because they printed a 1 trillion Zimbabwe dollar bill or note. And at that time, it was worth 34 U.S. dollars. 1 trillion Zimbabwe dollar note was worth 34 U.S. dollars. And today, it's worth a whole lot less, like 10% of that. That's what I would call hyperinflation. It's happened to lots of countries. Inflation or hyperinflation. So in our country, we have inflation most definitely. Of course, it's not on that scale, but it is still inflation. So does that mean anything's going to hit us? Well, it's pretty sure that it is, but we don't have a time frame, and we don't know how or when. And there's a few people who are saying this kind of a thing, and they're saying, get something stable in value. They say, buy gold, buy silver. Well, sure, if you can do it, that's fine. Well, that's something that remains stable if the value of currency drops significantly. If our dollar were to lose value, were to go through a crash, it might mean each dollar would become worth 40 cents in today's dollar money. 40 cents, maybe 25 cents. It's just a huge question if the faith in the U.S. dollar is ever lost by its citizens or by other countries. Anything could happen. And that's why you don't want to have a loan. Have no debt, because to repay that debt would probably mean a revaluation. I know we think of more dollars would pay it back, but things are revalued, old money and new money. And here again, you don't know what would happen or how it would happen. It's pretty sure we're not smarter than those money people. So there again, give it some thought. Lots of things could happen, even here in this country. History shows us that a lot of things happen, including collapses, economic collapses. Sometimes they happen sudden. I mean, look back at history. You can see things have happened suddenly, whether it's a hurricane or a 9/11 disaster. Things happen suddenly. They're massive. And we just don't have any warning. So look, and just think, what if? Sure, what if there was a national collapse, a global collapse? It doesn't mean you have to plan on it. Just give it some consideration and do a little bit of something. Consider the consequences. Is it inevitable? I don't know, but I think it is. The timing still is unknown. So I say, look out, search the matter out for yourself. And I think the answer, another part of this answer, is to have some physical assets, whatever that is, tools, skills, silver is a good one too. Get rid of all the debt you can. And remember that a collapse will not last forever. And if there does get to be disorder, order will return. And you want to remember to show compassion and love to others. That's what we do. Not only is it the Christian thing to do, but it's also what you want to do to preserve relationship with your neighbors and your friends, people you know. So be a responsible and loving and wise Christian. Yes. Everybody has to think about these things for themselves, because we all have different approaches. Yeah. There's been a lot of people who've spoken about these things. And a lot of people, well, you've heard a lot of them. There's all sorts of different people. And today there's people who speak about all sorts of topics. Sometimes they're evangelists or pastors. Sometimes priests or believers with a message. And you have to be careful, because they will quote Bible scriptures and it seems like they just take them out of context. So you have to be careful. Check it out. Make sure that what they're talking about is actually a biblical concept and the words are in context. You want to be like the Bereans were, which are to study the Word. And another place it says, study the Word, God's Word, to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the Word of truth. There we go, 2 Timothy 2. So look at your Bible and figure it out. So there's lots of people who have different ideas. You have to figure out what the best way is and use your reasoning and see what it says on the Bible. Now, I know there's a lot of people with different ideas, like I said. You don't have to agree with one or the other. I've heard of there's people in the Pentecostal religion, and they say you must speak in tongues there is no evidence that you will have salvation. No outward evidence. So is that true? Figure it out. Do you agree with Pope Francis, who in 2014, he said to 30,000 Catholics in Rome, He said, having a personal relationship with Jesus apart from the Catholic Church is dangerous and harmful. Do you agree with that? Good question. Do you agree with certain non-mainstream Christian religions? Do you have to spend 20 hours per month to seek converts and to spread God's word? And if you don't do that, your position with God is, well, less secure. A lot of people believe a lot of different things. So you have to recognize what is the most important part. It's what God says. And for you to know what God says, you have to read God's word for yourself. Ponder it, understand it, and see what it means. Know what it means. Well, your salvation is up to you. It's based on your personal decision. And after you make that decision, well, then you will want to demonstrate that that is your choice by how you live. You demonstrate your decision by how you live. I know John 3:16, don't we know that one? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So, it says, whosoever. Does that mean the church, or does that mean the person? I think it's a personal message, and I think it means it's up to you. And there again in Luke 10:25, Jesus is asked, what is it that I should do to inherit eternal life? And I'd say that it's a commandment to an individual, not a church. It says to love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, strength, and mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. When it talks about in 1 Corinthians, hope, faith, and charity, or love, it's talking about these things on a personal level. Or do you think it's talking about it as a church? Where does your salvation come from? Does it come from the church? Any church? Does it come from you with your personal decision and your personal responsibility? Well, you better be sure on that one. Think about that one. I think it's a personal and individual choice and an individual responsibility to choose salvation, that it's an individual choice. That's how we accept salvation, by an individual choice. Or do you think you're saved by your church? Well, that's one to get straight. If you're not sure about it, you better look and think and make a decision. So there's all sorts of things we can talk about. Ask God for direction. Ask the Holy Spirit for understanding. Oh, Lord God, we love you. God is almighty. So there's a lot going on in life, and often enough, it's not easy to find the time to read and study our Bible. And I've told you before, what I found, the only thing that worked for me at one point in my life when I had children at home, was we had to read the Bible. No Bible, no breakfast. That kind of worked. No Bible, no breakfast. But I'll tell you, some days, just there was no time. And so we only read one single verse. One single verse. But the thing is we took our Bibles out, opened them up, and we looked at it. It was a way of acknowledging God. So, and some days we could read a chapter or even several chapters. But no Bible, no breakfast was the only way that we could keep it consistent as a family. So you see what works for you, but I wanted to tell you about that idea. Well, I should have told you a little bit about Victoria Falls, because that was such a great experience to see those huge, huge waterfalls in the middle of an area that was dry. The trees, they looked hot. The dirt looked hot. Everything was hot. And then there were termite hills. They might have been 4 or 5 feet high or even 8 feet high. And they were all over the place, like every 100 feet, every 500 feet, you'd see a termite hill. And it would just be like 2 or 3 feet at the base and 4 to 8 feet tall. Lots of things are different in different lands. Well, Victoria Falls was very nice, and you could see the mist going up into the air. They say it went up over a mile, and I believe it. But it was just such a nice place to be. In the middle of that mist, all around it was just nice, moist, pleasant. And in Africa, with heat and dryness, it sure was nice to have that mist around. Well, the experience of those falling waterfalls was just huge because there was a reverberation from the sound that came through the falls, just the volume of water crashing down below. It was just a way of kind of reverberated in a good way through your body. In a way, Africa has a lot of wildlife. In a way, it really doesn't. There's not much you can go out and see. About all you could see there was a couple of monkeys around Victoria Falls because it was a protected area. So that was a nice experience. Very interesting to see waterfalls. They are lovely. It's a pleasant memory. And so here we are now in California. And it is a wonderful and amazing place also. It has a beautiful climate and beautiful natural features. It's easily one of the most beautiful places in the world, California is. And so here we are. It's lovely. And as typical humans, we often don't appreciate fully what we have, because it's become normal to us and we look at something that's better. But California's right at one of the very most beautiful places. We get spoiled. It's so good. And we ought to appreciate what we have. We ought to appreciate every good thing that we have. And that includes our relationship with God. It includes that we're not persecuted in any significant way for our faith or for anything else. We don't have real hunger here, and we seldom have any real pain in life. We can communicate freely. We have blessings upon blessing, and we can just say, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. So many things are good. Sure, we can look at the things that are not so good. I know that some people say, look at our senators and our congressmen. Yeah, look at them. They are so special that they have extra special premium health care just for them. No Obamacare for them. Like for us regular people. Nope, they have to have it really special. They have special laws that only apply to them. For instance, every citizen in the United States can be sued in court if they sexually harass another person. But not the senators or congressmen. No, they have special laws, and they have a special government-paid fund that pays if any senator or congressman is accused of sexual harassment. So they have this super fund, and like I said, it's paid for by the taxpayers. And they have paid out, since it was created in 1995, it has paid out $15 million to 356 different people who have claimed sexual harassment against senators and congressmen. What a sweet deal, huh? If you can get it, it's kind of like too special, but I guess they're special people. So it's a very interesting situation. So vote for the Christian, vote for the people who want us to live free according to Jesus Christ and use biblical understanding. A lot going on these days, don't I always say? Look at life, be thankful, and remember that things do happen. Things happen suddenly, and in a way not very often, but we do get big surprises. We get earthquakes and hurricanes, and don't forget the 9/11 situation. We have things happen. Sometimes life gets pretty tough for each one of us. And so consider praying. Pray in all matters. That's what we are supposed to do. Remember that if we can't do something, we can always remember God is capable, and we can ask Him for His understanding, for His faithfulness, for His ability to solve the problem. So if we can't do it, He can. And that is an attitude to take. Let him fix it and say, "Yes, Lord." It's a very good idea. All through our life, we have all sorts of things coming in front of us. We have things of the world. We have spiritual things, spiritual and physical parts of life. That's just how life is. And we get to live out our beliefs each day according to what we know or believe. And as we search for the reality of God, we make decisions. And I think it's a real good to recognize that every decision we make points us to, or toward, or from God. So I think it's important for us to choose carefully how we live on a moment-to-moment basis, because everything has eternal consequences. It's not that we really fully understand it, but often in hindsight we can say, "Oh, I made a decision and look what happened." And remember, we can always choose to belong to Jesus. Always, up until the moment we die. And the trouble is, we don't know when our moment of death will arrive. So we, especially when we're young, we just think we have the rest of life to go, long and happy. But because we don't know when, certainly we should reflect that surprises do happen, and we should remember we want to belong to Jesus. And also there's the rapture question. We seem to think that we will be raptured out of trouble. I don't know about that one. Well, I know what I think. But the point is consider all the possibilities. There's a lot of people who consider a lot of things. And it's not that I agree with them, but it is still interesting to look and see what they think. I know, I don't agree with this position, but it's interesting to hear some. And one of the positions is there are people who talk about a pattern of sevens. It is interesting. In 1897, Theodor Herzl he put on the first Jewish Congress in Basel, Switzerland. And he said that Congress founded the first Jewish state. Well, maybe. But then 1917, the Balfour Declaration set aside Palestine for the Jews. 1947, the State of Israel was created in a day. 1967, there was a six-day war, which gave Israel Jerusalem back as their capital. And now, 2017, some people say, "Yeah, it's a Jubilee year. Anything could happen here." So, jubilees do often represent restorations. But can we say no? They also point to the Revelation 12, one sign is of in the stars. And a lot of people they're hanging their hat on 2017 as being something will happen. Well, it could. but it doesn't mean it will, and it doesn't mean you're following the right calendar anyway, because are things usually on the Hebrew calendar or our Gregorian calendar? I think it's the Hebrew calendar, and I don't know what that means. There's other people who say there will be a 1 year delay. People say lots of things, but I think the whole thing is to be careful, because anything could happen anytime, and we want to be ready for whatever it is. Is the Antichrist going to be here? It's worthwhile to look at things, question things, debate things even. But we have lots going on in this world. We have Jesus coming back, and we know the kind of things that'll happen before he comes back. And I think it's so notable that there's 38 volcanoes going off in the world right now. Plus, last week, I guess it was a week ago, there was one in Iceland, another volcano in Iceland. There was another one in Bali, Indonesia. Things are happening. We see natural things like rain, like flood, like snow. Even in countries that don't have it, like Saudi Arabia had a flood from a rainstorm. Well, it just looks like things are changing. Things are changing. And you know what I say? Get prepared for that just in case, because our world is changing, and we want to be prepared for anything. Yes, and I know that there's a... What are we getting prepared for? Are we getting prepared for getting a permanent connection to the cloud? And I know that at some point in the future, that's where it's pointing towards, that we will all be connected. Maybe it's through a supercomputer that we all get to be connected with our friends and our family easily. I know there are advantages to this. But it's also can hook us up to that certain it. Call it the cloud. Call it a super cloud. Sure, there's all sorts of things could happen. And we just want to be careful. We want to be careful that what we do helps us and doesn't hurt us. We want to be careful who we trust and what we're doing. Think of 10 years ago, most of us didn't have a smartphone. Now we do. It's just a matter of how connected are you going to be when they say, let's get connected. Let's get connected. Does that put us connected with some supercomputer in the sky? Well, I think we should just be prepared. These things could happen any time. They could. And if there is certainly a collapse or a calamity, all these things are going to pressure us to change. And will it be the mark of whatever? We just don't know. Lots of things can happen. And so be prepared. Think. And the most important part is belong to Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, the Christ, the chosen of God. And we want to develop our communication with Jesus, with God, both to speak and to hear. We want that communication from and with the Holy Spirit. And we should practice listening to the voice of our God more clearly than we hear that ringing of the cell phone. And how do we get to that point? We practice. We practice hearing his still small voice. We practice by hearing what he is speaking or indicating to us. We practice listening. We practice speaking and definitely listening. Yep, that's an important one. So I am thankful for everyone who's listening. Thank you. And if you would like my preparedness brochure, by all means, give me a self-addressed stamped envelope, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And remember, you can always listen to current or past Christ Today broadcasts at www.christtoday.org. So thank you for listening, and may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. God bless you.